sometimes we take church and the ministry and preaching kind of like it's not that important. But it really is. If God has a message for you and you miss it just because you're being careless, you may have problems you wouldn't normally have. So we need to be faithful to church, to the Word of God, faithful to do our part to be sure we where we are need to be. Now, the true preached word builds your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you study that, look at it, it means the preached word. It actually says that. How can they hear without a preacher? Yes, we can preach it to ourselves, and we must. It says to meditate in the Word of God day and night, and we must. But there's something special about the anointed Word of God, and it wasn't my idea, it was His idea. But it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached Word of God. As we preach these verses today from the Word of God, we believe, I believe, that God's going to quicken some of them to your heart, or at least one good one, and it's going to build faith, a no-so in you that's going to give you victory this week. So let me encourage you, pay close attention, and if you're at home on the way to the refrigerator, you hurry up and get back, okay? Or turn it up really loud. You don't want to miss any of this message. Father God, we thank you today for anointing us to preach the Word, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Help us, Father God, to leave this service today knowing that we have been in the presence of the living God and that we have heard Him speak a word to us. My sheep know my voice. If we're born again, we need to know and hear and recognize the voice of God. Thank you, Lord, for talking to your people today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Born-again believers are new creations in Christ. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. That's what the Word says. We have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. Think of that. At one time, we were servants to Satan, the old slave master. And now we've been set free, we've been redeemed, bought and paid for, and now we are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been transferred from the domain of darkness, is what the Word says, to the kingdom of the Son, or to the kingdom of God. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a great thought. And where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God. Today we want to look at this thought. Because we have received grace and righteousness by faith, the Bible says we reign in life through Jesus Christ. We reign in life through Jesus Christ. But what does this mean? The new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us great benefits that many of us do not know we have. Today we need to know the benefits. We need to know the authority that we have when we truly meditate upon God's Word, learn the Word, when we pray and fast and seek the face of God, and when we begin to really do the Word of God. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." The problem is that most Christians really don't even know what the benefits are. And I want to talk to you about some of the benefits today. As believers in Christ, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. There's one time I was so bound by sin and by just, I would call it demonic forces, I really wasn't free to do what I really wanted to do. But when I was born again, something broke off of my life and I found I had a new freedom that now in the name of Jesus, I could start taking authority over my own flesh and do things I knew I needed to do. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, we are new creations. The things we used to love, we now hate. And the things we used to hate, we now love. We have been redeemed from the domain of darkness and from the old slave master, the devil. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." I just want to read these verses and let you see them, that this is really what it says. Some preachers, they take one verse and kind of twist it to mean whatever they want it to mean, but I like to read it so you can see it for yourself, and not just one, many, that apply to the same subject. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We've been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. We're no longer of this world. Now, what does all this mean? I mean, there's some great things here. We've been rescued. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have been set free. What does all of this mean? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "Now, therefore, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." See, our whole environment has changed. We have changed from the inside out. The Word says that we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. What does that mean? It means that when you're born again, Jesus Christ lives in you, working on you from the inside out, changing you and making you the person that He wants you to be. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And so we're birthed into a whole new citizenship, a whole new country, a whole new city called heaven. We're not strangers to God. And we are fellow citizens with the saints. In John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says, "You are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." You are not of the world. We need to get that in our heads that we're born again. We now have citizenship in a whole different world. Jesus says, "You are not of the world. I chose you out of the world." Even though we still live in the world, we're not of this world. And therefore, we can expect God to do great mighty things for us and in us. We are of the household of God. The Word of God says, "Because we have received grace and righteousness, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ." Right now, you need to pay attention. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one." In other words, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, death reigned through them. Adam and Eve, they were in a perfect air-conditioned garden. They had a lot of fruit, but there were not any worms eating up their fruit. The Bible says there were not any thorns or thistles growing, and there were not any tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or any of those kind of things, because they lived in a perfect environment. But when Adam and Eve sinned, Satan came in with all of his curses, and that's when all the sickness and the disease and all the problems started. The Bible says the earth began to produce thorns and thistles. Then, of course, we know we started having the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the hurricanes. All that came as a curse upon this world because of sin. So death and destruction right now, rules over the people of this world. And that's why you see this horrible coronavirus affected the whole world. People down all over the whole world. And people, that's an act of God. No, that's not an act of God. That's the curse that sin brought into our lives. And we just have to understand that. "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one." But here's, I'm getting to the good news in a second. Death and destruction now rule over people of this world, but we are not of this world. Very often we say, "Well, everybody else has got it, I guess I'll be next." Well, I don't plan to be next, because I'm believing that I belong to Jesus Christ, and He has promised to give His angels charge over me to protect me and to bear me up in their hands, and I'm believing for that. "According to your faith, so be it unto you." It's important to know that you're not of this world, but we are not of this world. We have Jesus to help us. Yea, though the 23rd Psalm, we memorize that 23rd Psalm when we're kids, but very often we quote it and don't even listen to it. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not of this world, no matter what I walk through or grow through. My shepherd is with me and protected me from the evil things in this life, if I just maintain my trust in him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Well, what in the world does that mean, ruling and reigning in life? Does that mean I'll never have another problem? You see, because we have received grace and righteousness, we can reign in life through Jesus Christ. But that does not mean I'll never have another problem. As a matter of fact, it implies very strongly I'm going to have a lot of problems. But with Jesus' help, I can walk through that valley of the shadow of death and be okay. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. The Bible is always its own best commentary. Listen to this. Fear not. When the Bible says fear not, the Word of God says fear not. When Jesus says worry or be not afraid, only believe, that's what we need to do. He said, "Well, I just can't help it. Fear." Yes, if he said fear not, we can help it. So the first thing we need to do is put a stop to fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. God says, "I have redeemed you, therefore you belong to me." And this is in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament law. He's talking to Israel. As you know, he redeemed them out of Egyptian slavery, brought them into the promised land. He says, "I'm the one that redeemed you. I took your life that was practically totally destroyed. I brought you out of that into a land of promise. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And that's what the New Testament says. It says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And so we have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have been redeemed. And so we're not our own. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God says, "I have redeemed you, therefore you belong to me." Verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters," pay close attention right now, "when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." See, reigning in life does not mean we never have problems. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been born again. You're going to go through some deep water. You're going to find yourself in roaring rivers in life that you think, "Man, I'm not going to make it this time," but you'll make it. And then you find yourself walking through the fire. "Oh my goodness, how did I get into a mess like this?" But you put your faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and somehow you look back and you got through it. That's ruling and reigning in life. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through the deep waters. You are. Doesn't mean you're not going to find yourself in a roaring river and with the inability to get out, but the Lord's going to help you. It doesn't mean you're not going to find yourself walking through the fire. It just means he's going to keep the fire from destroying you. "Fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'm with thee. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned." So reigning in life does not mean we never have problems. Reigning in life means we have power and authority to defeat the mountains and the giants and the storms of life. We must learn to stand and believe the Word of God no matter how bad the circumstance looked. circumstances. Look, remember Peter when he was looking at the storm. He was walking on the water, but when he got his eyes on the storm and the wind and waves blew some water in his face, he began to sink. We have to walk through life no matter how bad the storm is and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can conquer our mountains and giants and storms. We can conquer our addictions and bondages and strongholds. We can pull down depression and oppression and be healed on the inside and outside. Reigning in life means walking through the fire but not being destroyed. There is no guarantee that you're not going to go through the fire. There's almost a guarantee you will. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, this really illustrates, I believe, what Isaiah is saying. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to his officials, "Was it not three men we cast into the midst of the fire?" And they replied to the king, "Certainly, O king, we can count to three." It was three. He says, "Well, I see four." And we threw those three in, and they were tied up. And now the fire has done no harm, except it burned the ropes that we had had them tied with. He said, "Look, I see four men loose and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the sons of the God, the son of the gods." He made it plural. But he later believed in one God. And anyway, he said that fourth one looks like a God to me. And do you think maybe that could have been Jesus? And when you're in the middle of the fire, you may think it's going to burn you, but you remember that. That if he walked through the fire with the three Hebrew children, he'll walk through the fire with you. You see, they had a choice. Nebuchadnezzar says, "If you bow to this idol, I will not throw you into the fire. But if you do not bow, I will throw you into the fire." And they replied to the king, "King, we're not going to bow. And our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're not going to bow anyway." And he says, "Look, bow. If you do not bow, I'm throwing you in the fire." He says, "No, we're not bowing." And they threw, he had them thrown into the fire. And you may find yourself in a fire this week. And you need to remember this, no matter how bad it looks. Jesus Christ has promised never to leave you and never to forsake you. And even when you walk in through the valley of the shadow of death, he's promised to be right there with you. Can you believe that? That's what it means to rule and reign in life. We are reigning in life when we pass through the deep water, march through the rivers, and walk through the fire. You see, why are we protected? He says, "I have redeemed thee, thou art mine." And we need to remember that we're not our own. We're bought and paid for. And the devil has no legal right to touch the property of God. But Jesus said he'll come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says the devil goes about as roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But this says, "I have redeemed thee, thou art mine, you belong to me." And basically what the Word of God really is clearly meaning is that the thief may come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has no legal right to do that, so you can take authority over him. Amen. Jesus said, "I give you authority." And a lot of times we complain about all the bad things in our lives, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be doers of the Word, and part of doing the Word is praying and fasting and meditating on the Word and going to church and speaking to our mountains and taking authority that the Lord has given us. Amen. Let's keep looking at it. And Psalm 34, verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Do you think you're going to scoot through life on easy street? It's not going to happen. Okay. You're going to have your ups and downs and your problems. You're not going to spend your life in a rose garden. And it's going to be rough and tough, and you can stand up and you can take authority over your mountains and over your giants and over your sicknesses and diseases. You can begin to take authority over everything the devil is trying to do to the property of God. Christ has given every believer great power and authority, and we must use it and pay attention. Don't let your mind run off. If you've got to go to the refrigerator, wait till after this next verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, the King James says, and casting down imaginations. When you got something like this coronavirus killing people all over the world, it's really easy to start seeing your own coffin, you know, and start imagining, oh, I'm a dead man this time, I'm a dead woman this time, I'm not going. I cast down those imaginations and quit saying I'm next. Start believing that you're the property of God and that the Lord is walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death, casting down arguments and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you can take some authority and cast those things down and quit letting those thoughts torment you. You see, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, you cast down anything and everything that contradicts the Word of God. You cast it down. You don't allow that to stay in your head. Look, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are responsible for the thoughts we are allowed to stay in our head. People say, well, if you think it, that's just as bad as doing it. No, it is not. Because if it's just a thought, you can cast it down. But if you do it, you might get shot. You say amen. So cast it down before you do it. Or whatever it is. If it's fear, cast it down. Just say, I'm not going to live in fear of no coronavirus. I've got Jesus on my side. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be careless. I'm going to do what I know to do. The Bible says we're to submit to authority. And when our medical authorities tell us we need to be careful and do certain things, they all contradict each other. Okay? When it's something new and they're trying to figure it out. But we need to listen and make our best decision how to take care of ourselves. Amen. And it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God, you cast it down, bring it captive to the obedience of Christ, even every thought. We cast down every imagination and high thing that contradicts the Word of God and take every thought captive. Yes, you can do it. It's not always easy. And it's much easier for me to preach it than to do it, but I have to do it too. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Jesus cursed this fig tree. And they walked away, went over to Jerusalem, and came back. And when they came back, the fig tree had already withered from the root up. And the disciples are amazed. Said, how did this happen? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith. Now remember that Jesus Christ is one that is saying this, not me. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Everybody say, do not doubt. Do not doubt. You will not only do what is done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, you can say to your mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. What in the world did he mean by that? I mean, we need to take him at his word. And of course, he's not really talking about literal mountains. You know, and if there was a literal mountain in your way, it need to be moved, I believe you would move it. But most of us are not worried about mountains, physical mountains. We're worried about losing our job. We're worried about our health. We're concerned about our children, concerned about our family members, all kind of different things. And we need to begin to stand in faith and believe God to take care of all those matters. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, move, be removed, and be cast in the sea, it will be done. Jesus said, speak in faith to the mountains, the strongholds, and the demons. Cast them into the sea. And whatever, verse 24, and whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever we ask for in prayer, without doubting, we can receive. That's what the head guy said. That's what the master says. That's what Jesus Christ says. Instead of doubting it, we need to start speaking to our mountains, speaking to our fears and our doubts, our unbelief, speaking to our problems and ask in faith and believe God that he's going to meet every need and bring every thought captive so that we will not operate in fear and doubt. Shut that fear and doubt down and believe that the Lord is walking with us. Amen. And he will walk with us and he'll get us through it. If he can get the Hebrew children through the fire, he can get you through your fire. And there's a couple of verses. The New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our learning. We learn from this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that even in the fire, they didn't hop in the fire on their own. They were thrown in because they wouldn't bow to an idol. When they got thrown into the fire, the Lord delivered them, and that is an example for what he's going to do for you. But you got to believe him that he's going to deliver you. John Uchai, a guy here in the church, is really a man that serves the Lord, obedient to God. He had a new boss, and he came to our men's prayer meeting. And he said, this man is insulting me. He gets me in front of people and embarrasses me. He's mean to me. And I want to pray about it. So we began to pray. And it went on for several weeks. And one week he came in and said, guess what? We said, well, what? He said, they fired my boss. They kept me and fired my boss. So whatever mountain, whatever problem you're facing, let's pray and believe God to take care of it. Instead of falling apart, begin to speak to the demonized people in your life. Begin to take authority over them. Begin to take authority over the people that's giving you a hard time at work. You say, well, how can I do that? Because it says that Satan works in the children of disobedience. And if you have authority over Satan, you have authority over the spirit that's operating in these people that are serving the enemy. Can you say, glory to God? You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I am not next. You can be next if you want to. But I'm claiming that promise. That's a promise. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, if God's ready for me in heaven, then I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, let's go. But if not, if I sense that God's got something for me to do, I'm going to believe God to restore me to wholeness so I can do what God called me to do. I am not next. I'm redeemed, and I have this promise. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Just because everybody's getting it does not mean you're next. And so just quit saying it. Saying it doesn't help anybody. Okay, and it sure doesn't protect you. Bring every thought captive. Quit thinking I'm next. Start thinking I'm the property of God. I'm bought and paid for. The devil can't take me out one day early. As long as I keep my faith in him, nothing can take me out until it's God's time. And so I'm not going to live in fear, doubt, and unbelief. I'm put on a grin on, and I'm going to do what God called me to do. Amen. Glory to God. And these are great promises. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You see, this is ruling and reigning in life. It doesn't say you're not going to face any serpents or any dragons, so to speak. You will, but you can have victory. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority. What does that mean? Well, I don't believe in demons and devils. I don't believe all this spooky stuff. But why did the Lord give you authority over something that doesn't exist? See, there, you're living a demonized world whether you want to admit it or not. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Why not begin to believe that? And like Jesus, when he came to the end of his temptation of 40 days with the devil, he said, "It is written." Well, what about just pulling this sword of the Spirit on the devil? "Behold, I give you authority." Satan, it is written, "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me." Satan, I take authority over you. I take authority over your disease. I take authority over this job. I take authority over my career. And devil, I command you to take your hands off of me and my health and my job, my career, my family, my church, my city, my county, my nation, and start doing what the Lord said to do. He said, "Speak to the mountain, not run from it." Amen. And I've learned this works. And I fast a lot. Pray a lot, meditate on the Word of God a lot. And God has given me some real revelations here that you don't hear a lot of preaching on, because they're not doing what it takes to get revelation. And it's nothing weird or strange. It's just the Word of God coming alive. Just the Word of God coming alive. The Word of God is spiritually discerned. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Don't look at me. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. We have authority over demons and demonized people, but we must use that authority. We take authority by speaking to the mountain, the giant, and the storm. Now, let me give you a good example. Paul is preaching to the governor, and Elymas, the sorcerer, is interfering. He's trying to prevent the governor from putting his faith in Jesus Christ. And he's causing all these problems. And finally, Paul gets fed up with it, and he uses his authority. He uses his authority. And here it is, Acts chapter 13, verse 10. Here's what Paul said to Elymas: "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" And that's exactly what the secular humanists are doing right now. We send our Christian kids to the university or to the college, and they're taking they're making crooked the straight ways of the Lord. They're teaching them, instead of teaching them to do what is teaching them to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, they teach our kids to do whatever feels good, whatever's right for you. There's no right or wrong. You just make it up as you go. And so secular humanists all over America are making the crooked, they have made crooked the straight ways of the Lord. And we need to start taking authority over the demons and the devils that's destroying this country through these demonized secular humanist professors in these universities and colleges. Amen. Now, verse 11, now just look at this. You can't just dismiss this. This is the Bible. "Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and so he was blind for a time. Couldn't see for a time. You see, Paul stood up, took his authority over this guy, commanded him to go blind, and he did. Boy, when I discovered that years ago, I began to realize I have authority over demonized people that the devil uses to come into a church and harm the church and try to cause problems for God's people. I've learned that I have, as a pastor, I have authority over demonized people, and so do you. Like John, if you have a boss that's abusing you and mistreating you, you can, in your bride closet, I don't go up to him and start rebuking him. You may just get fired. Get in your prayer closet, take authority over him, and got to deal with him. Just like it did with John. The boss never would straighten up, never would treat John right, and the higher guys fired him and kept John. Amen. And blessed John. You can do it your way, or you can do it God's way. "Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and for a time he was blind. You see, Paul used his authority and stopped the evil plan of Elymas. Maybe you could do that. St. Paul, he was one of the 12. No, he wasn't. He wasn't one of the 12. And when Jesus said, I give you authority, he wasn't talking to the 12. He was, the scripture I read a few minutes ago, he was talking to the 70 that he sent out, two by two. They weren't apostles. They were just 70 men he sent out. And they had authority to cast out demons and devils. And for a time, he was blind. So Paul uses authority. So ruling and reigning means rebuking storms, sickness, disease, demonized people. What's he going to hurt? You know, casting out demons, casting mountains into the sea, and raising the dead and walking on water. You see, this is what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all. Study his life. He went from one demonized person to another, casting out demons and devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. He even helped Peter and John fill up two boats with fish. They were fishermen. I guarantee you they sold those fish and made a lot of money. So Jesus Christ went about doing good. And you know what? He's still going about doing good if we will believe him. He said, according to your faith. You can doubt and deny everything I've read, but Jesus said, it's according to your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you need to believe the Word of God. This is what Jesus did. He walked in victory. John 14:12 says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. So we have the authority and the power and the same Holy Spirit he had to do the works he did. But we have to believe it. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. Well, it was those 12. It was those apostles. No, it was the believer. Remember, the apostles tried to cast a demon out of this little boy, and they could not because they didn't have faith. They did not work miracles because they were apostles. They worked miracles because they finally became believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to win in Christ. The Lord has given us everything we need to win our battles, and part of that is taking authority over demonic spirits. Jesus said, if we will believe him and use our authority, nothing will be impossible to us. In Matthew 17:19, then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? Why could we not drive out this demon? He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this demon, he's talking about a demon. He says, if you will have faith, if you will believe me and believe my word, he says you can speak to that demon. He says, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. That's what Jesus said. Don't say Barry said it. Barry didn't say it. Barry's very careful about what he says. I just read what he said. And I believe what he said. Jesus says, when we start believing him and using our authority over demons, nothing will be impossible to us. Hallelujah. Use your authority. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples. Now, this is the 12. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So he certainly gave it to them, but they didn't do too good with it until they started being believers. Jesus also said this to the 70, which I just read and quoted, God has given the believer authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. A part of ruling and reigning in life is bringing health and healing and deliverance to others. I'm not called just to take care of myself. I'm called to preach the Word of God to bless every one of you. I'm not preaching this message so I can learn something. I'm preaching it so that you will know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A part of ruling and reigning in life is bringing health, healing, and deliverance to others. See, I have a certain authority that God has given me to really preach the truth to help and bless other people. The reason we have authority is to do the Lord's work. What do I need authority for? I need authority to take authority over demons and devils and evil people and demonized people that would harm you and create problems for you. As members of this church, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do. Believers, it's time to start speaking to your mountains and start bringing every thought captive to the Word of God. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He says, the believer, not the apostle. He who believes in me, Jesus was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And you see that in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Even though he was the Son of God, he's operating as a man. Philippians, it says, he emptied himself of all divine rights and privilege and came as a servant. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, we can do the works he did because he has given us the same Holy Spirit. And today, he says his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons and daughters of God. The Spirit of God is in you. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus Christ is in you. And that's why he said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, she shall do, because we have the same Holy Spirit anointing us that anointed him. He's operating as a man, and yet he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. If he was operating as God, why would he need the Holy Spirit to anoint him? He was operating as a man to show you and me how to walk in victory, how to have deliverance. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Then begin to speak to your mountains. Begin to put your faith and trust in God. You see, we can do the works he did because he has given us the same Holy Spirit. And we have that powerful name of Jesus. When you say, Satan, I take authority to you in the name of Jesus, he has to bow. Submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. What does all that mean? It means you have authority. And the devil has to respond. Reigning in life does not mean we never have problems. Reigning in life means we have power and authority to defeat the mountains, the giants, and the storms of this life. Jesus said men ought to pray and not to give up, not to faint. And so instead of giving up, start getting into the Word of God. Meditate on his Word. Believe the Word. Speak the Word. Act on the Word. Speak to your mountains and believe for deliverance. We can conquer our mountains and giants and storms. Reigning in life means walking through the fire and not being destroyed. Because we have received grace and righteousness, we reign in life through Jesus Christ. The new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us great benefits in life. Christ has given every believer great power and authority, but we must use it. You see, God called me to preach when I was 12 years old. But way before that, when I was an infant, I began to have tonsillitis, and then they took my tonsils out at 16. That's too late to do that, but they did anyway because they were desperate. Then it went to strep throat, and I was associate pastor for a long time, but when I started pastoring a church, that strep throat presented a threat, and I began to realize, man, if I don't get some victory here, I get authority over this thing, I'm not going to be able to preach. And so I learned to really take authority over strep throat and over sickness and over disease and over these demons that was trying to keep me from preaching. And to this day, when that thing tries to come on me, I take authority over it. I said, no, devil, you're not going to put that on me because I got to preach. Hey, and I'm not telling you he doesn't attack me and try to make me sick and all that stuff. He certainly does. But buddy, when it's time to preach, I take authority over that. I get the victory and I preach. Why? Because I can. I can speak to that mountain. I can speak to that strep throat, and I can preach. One day, many years ago, I walked out to preach, and I could not say a word audibly. I could barely whisper. But I walked out in faith, and I said, folks, pray for me. And when they pray for me, I began to preach in a whisper in just a few minutes. I was, which is not normal for me, I was running across the platform and yelling at the top of my lungs. God healed me right in front of the people because I took authority over that thing. And you can laugh if you will. But I've been pastor of this church now for 40 years. There's people that's been here for 30, 35, 38 years. And they will tell you I've never missed preaching one time in 40 years, not bragging or complaining. It's just God. It's just the Word of God. And I believe the Word, speak the Word, and act on the Word. For 40 years, I have not missed preaching one time because of sickness. And the devil's trying to make me sick. I said, no, I take authority of this thing, and I'm preaching. And I didn't say I never get sick. I just said I have authority over it, and I shut it down, and I preach. Laugh if you will, but I'm preaching, aren't I? And so the new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us great benefits in Jesus Christ.